The anti-mandate convoy or occupation, whatever you want to call it, continuing in the city this morning. It is now day 9. Lots of residents upset with police and city officials in this situation right now. Joining us to bring us up to date on the latest so far is Mayor Jim Watson. Good morning, Mayor Watson.
Good morning, Andrew.
I hope you've been getting some sleep. I know it's been hard for some residents here. Just wondering the latest, the obvious, I guess. Do you have a timeline for an end to this?
No, I don't. I wish I did. It should have ended days ago. There's no question about that. The nerves of the residents, particularly in the downtown core, are frayed beyond belief. They're suffering, and the protesters do not seem to have any understanding of how insensitive they are, blaring horns and sirens and fireworks and turning it into a party. This is the last thing from a party or celebration our residents and neighbors are experiencing. Bringing in bouncy castles and saunas and hot tubs is the height of irresponsibility. And, you know, there must be some good, decent people that can speak to the others within the convoy and say, you know, this is just not acceptable behavior in a civil society. Our bylaw people were out. They issued just yesterday alone 360 tickets. Police have made a number of arrests. They've increased the number of tickets for Highway Traffic Act infractions. We had more police officers in the neighborhoods. My number one priority continues to be the protection of those neighborhoods, to try our very best to ensure that there's minimal disruption. That's difficult because a number of these trucks have dug in. I was touring the site just the other day, and they have two big trailer or semis blocking Kent Street. So it's completely inaccessible for the small businesses along there who've all had to close, as well as the residents who have had to put up with such outrageous behavior by these individuals who think this is a big party and a big joke. It isn't. It's serious. And as I said, we are asking for more police resources. We've received more. 60 more RCMP officers were sworn in. More will be sworn in, I believe, today or tomorrow to get up to about 257. We have OPP officers that have been brought in from other parts of the province as well. Spoke to the Premier, and he's indicated any other resources we need, we will get. And I've indicated to all of our police command, do not hesitate to contact me to get more resources when you need them, because clearly we're outnumbered, and we're losing this battle right now. And this has to be reversed. We have to get our city back.
Well, Chair of the Police Services Board, Diane Deans, saying the same thing yesterday. She called a meeting yesterday afternoon, an emergency, to see what resources could be offered to the city. So there was, as you mentioned, you know, 60 more RCMP officers, and that all squared out at the meeting. But she called this, you know, a city under siege, an insurrection, a madness during a meeting yesterday. Those were her words. But how would you describe what's going on in our city right now?
Well, the situation at this point is completely out of control because the individuals with the protest are calling the shots. They have far more people than we have police officers. And I've indicated to the chief that we have to be much more nimble and proactive when it comes to these activities. A good example of that is there should have been action taken while the shack was being constructed. And now it's become a rallying point where there's so many people there. How do we go in and enforce the laws and the NCC's property rights? So these are the kinds of things we have to be much more nimble at, to get in, nip it in the bud quickly, seal the area off, and move on to the next area to clear it up as well.
Do you think as a city we were ill-prepared for what was coming?
Well, look at it. It's always easy to be critical of the police's action. I don't think anyone in any city would be prepared for what we saw. We saw a convoy coming, assumed that they would stay for the day and move on. And, you know, we see, for instance, as a result of actions in Ottawa, Toronto and Quebec City and other jurisdictions had the playbook, and they knew to block them quickly. We had all of these people in the inner core, and all of a sudden they started to disassemble their rigs. And, you know, should we have been better prepared? Yes, of course, we should have been. Did we have the intelligence that these people were going to make this an encampment as opposed to a protest? Clearly, we didn't have that intelligence, and now we find ourselves in a terrible situation that is causing great suffering on the part of the people of Ottawa, particularly those people in those neighborhoods where we've increased police presence significantly, Lowertown, Byward Market, Centertown, the hardest hit communities. And we have a special counsel meeting on Monday to deal with all of the issues that have happened over the weekend and to get answers from the chief and any other resources he needs to bring this to a peaceful end and de-escalate it as quickly as possible.
And I know you've been hearing the stories from residents as well and the hardships that they've been going through. Just, you know, lots of reaction that, you know, there is a lack of confidence in the police service and the police chief right now. Do you have confidence in Police Chief Peter Slowly and his ability to maintain this police force?
I do, and I also have confidence in the police officers, both our Ottawa police officers and those that have come in, and we thank those jurisdictions for freeing up their officers to bring them into our communities and our neighborhoods. You know, when you hear stories, as was on your newscast, of ambulances being stopped, this is clearly the height of irresponsibility and, quite frankly, criminal behavior. And that's why when I get a briefing later today in terms of the number of arrests and the number of people who have been given tickets above and beyond parking infractions, we need to hit these people in the pocketbook. We went after one of their funding sources, GoFundMe, and they shut down that particular resource and are giving back those $9+ million because that was giving a great comfort to the protesters that they had all of this money that was going to pay for their gas and food and hotels and everything else. I know it's gone to another platform, not as well known, but at least we've got a little bit of a break with GoFundMe saying enough is enough, because they saw as a third party outsider objective perspective what was happening in this city was lawlessness and illegal activity, and that goes against their corporate beliefs. So, you know, we continue to work with our federal and provincial counterparts. I'm speaking on a regular basis with officials from both the federal and provincial government to ensure that they understand when we put in a request, we don't need foot dragging, we need the resources right away. And to date, they've been very responsive, and I thank both the Premier and the Prime Minister and their officials and their ministers.
And just, you know, organizers are holding a press conference today to speak once again. Obviously, we use press conference in quotes because they're not really taking questions, so we don't really know what the message is. But do you see a situation where the city or Police Chief Slowly, whoever is leading the negotiations, sits down with the organizers of this convoy at any point?
Well, yes, the short answer is that it's going to be a solution that's going to involve the protesters, because at this point they're claiming they're not moving and this thing can't go on forever. Mm. You know, I think one of the things that I saw that was somewhat positive was that their lawyer, indicated that they would be willing to stop the horn honking, for instance, from 8 p.m. to 8 a.m. Now, that doesn't seem like a big deal, but if you're living in that core and you're not getting any sleep, that is a big deal. So my hope is they live up to at least that one decent thing that they can do to give some peace of mind and some sleep back to families, particularly those with small children, our senior citizens that are suffering. And secondly, that the police are much more aggressive in ticketing and arresting people who are harassing people on the streets. That's the whole purpose of having the extra surge of police officers in those three hard-hit neighborhoods. The public cannot be constantly bullied and intimidated by these thugs that end up ruling the streets like it's some series of gangs roaming around. So, you know, the police have to be much more aggressive in terms of ticketing and ensuring that these people understand that there are consequences, both through the criminal code and financial consequences to the individuals that are acting completely irresponsibly and causing danger and, danger to our city and our neighborhoods.
And we have seen, you know, lawyer Paul Champ pick up the residents' concerns in terms of a class action lawsuit. So he's trying to seek an injunction to at least stop the horns. As you mentioned, you know, there was a court appearance yesterday. Just wanted to mention that, you know, Judge McLean said it would be reasonable for once a day coordinated. Just that would be a reasonable thing. But anyway, moving on from that, it was noted by Mr. Champ and by former Federal Justice Minister Alan Rock that the city does have these tools at its disposal. The city could seek an injunction to try to stop the noise or what have you. So why isn't the city taking that up? Why has a private lawyer decided to take that upon himself?
Well, that's one of the options that the city is looking at. But as you know, Andrew, unless you have the means to back up the court order probably isn't worth the paper it's written on. So you have to coordinate enough police response to enforce the court order, and that's what one of the options of many that the city as well as the police department are looking at. All of these things and contingency plans have been reviewed, but they're all contingent on making sure that we have the ability to back up the words on the document.
And on that point, you know, the judge saying this is a very unique situation yesterday. Just, you know, you have been in politics a long time. Have you? Can you remember anything like this at all?
No, nothing comes even close to the kind of destabilizing vicious protests that we're seeing in our city and unfortunately in other cities. They stayed overnight, I believe, in Quebec City, and they're back at it again in Toronto, and we see what's happening in Alberta with the two or three crossings now. You know, the thing is becoming, as I mentioned earlier, it's completely out of control in many jurisdictions, mostly in our jurisdiction. And the only thing I can think of that comes close, you know, as a kid growing up in Quebec was the War Measures Act, where you saw members of the military roaming the streets after the assassination of Pierre Laporte. So there's no question this thing is the most serious challenge to the stability of our city. And in fact, as it spreads across the country, to our country.
And on that point, we see, you know, Councillor Catherine McKenney this morning asking for federal help from Justin Trudeau to help residents as well. Do you see a point where we, you know, contact the Premier or the Prime Minister's office and try to invoke the Emergencies Act? We've seen that thrown about as well.
Yeah, I'm in constant contact with the federal and provincial governments. The War Measures Act obviously has to be approved and agreed to by the federal government. The province has a role as well. So that's a decision that you know, may ultimately we may have to come to, but there does not seem to be that appetite to bring the military in at this point. But clearly that has to be an option, and the chief has indicated that that's still on the table. And, you know, I suspect it would be the most serious option that the police would have as part of their contingency.
And just last before you, you know, I know we're kind of split up into two situations here. You know, there's the acute situation. We're trying to just deal with what we have right now. And then the bigger conversation about police resources and what have you. Just what do you think is the biggest thing that will need to be looked at post occupation protest, whatever you want to call it, for city council and for police?
Well, a complete top to bottom overview of how it unfolded, where we succeeded, where we failed. And more importantly, you know, if this, you know, not if, this protest and occupation will end, how do we prevent it from happening again? Because clearly it is going to embolden those people who think that they can bully a democratically elected government, whether it's federally, provincially, or municipally. And what precautions do we have to take on a go-forward basis to secure our downtown core and our important neighborhoods and coordinate that with the OPP that have responsibility for the Queensway? And sharpen our intel gathering capacity so that we know that if something like this is going to happen again, you know, leading up to the summer, then we have the ability and the resources to move quickly and swiftly and nimbly to nip it in the bud so it does not happen again and the people of Ottawa are not terrorized like they're being terrorized right now by this group that clearly have no compassion and no understanding of how hurtful and harmful their actions are towards the people of this city.
Lots of questions in the short term and the long term. Mayor Watson, thanks so much for your time this morning. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Andrew. Take care.
It's Mayor Jim Watson bringing us up to date on the latest on this downtown convoy occupation. Your thoughts, you can text us 580-580, tweet us at CFRA Ottawa.